All right, good evening, everyone. Hopefully everyone is having a blessed evening as we are. As always, we'd like to say praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for yet another day in the land of the living and another chance to get our acts together. Today is March 14th, 2024, and week 267. If you're new around here, welcome to Joy in the Midst of the Storm. This is a program where we like to do weekly live streaming Bible studies and shortly upload audio versions to every major podcast platform shortly thereafter. If you've been with us for a while, as we always like to say, thank you guys for tuning in week in and week out, trying to hear what thus says the Lord. We have another great topic coming to you guys this evening, and we do have an early comment from Casey. He says, praise the Lord, brothers and everyone. Hopefully everyone is having a blessed day in Christ. God bless. Keep the faith. And amen to that. Praise the Lord to you. And thank you so much for tuning in and being among the early comments. So the title of the topic is, what more can he do? So without any further ado, I'm going to pass it over to Minister Tony Banks. We can go ahead and get started with this evening's message. As always, we pray that you guys get something out of it.
Thank you very much, Melvin. As always, we do start by going into a word of prayer. So if you guys are at a place where you can join in with us, we encourage you to do so. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace, Lord. First and foremost, Lord, we're coming to say thank you, Lord. Help us to just continue to remember to thank you for all of the many blessings that you continually give to us, Lord. You continue to bless us with food and bless us with necessary things that we use every day of our lives, Lord. Just the air we breathe, Lord, the clothes we put on, the transportation you've provided, Lord, just the protection over the highways, the protection on our jobs, the protection at church, Lord, the protection at the stores, the grocery stores. Lord, you've given us so much. Help us to remember to thank you for it, Lord. We're praying that no matter what happens to us in this life, that you will continually remind us there's still a reason to have joy in the midst of every storm. Lord, we're praying for the Bible study tonight, that your word would go forth, that you alone would increase and that we would all decrease. Lord, help us to make this thing about you. Help us to keep our eyes stayed on you so that we can be in perfect peace, Lord. Lord, we desire to be with you wherever you may be, Lord. We want to be there also. So Lord, continue to keep us in our right minds, Lord. Keep us motivated, encouraged, and dedicated to the things pertaining to your kingdom. Lord, we're praying all these blessings in your tremendous name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God bless each of you for being with us tonight. As always, we do appreciate you for tuning in. We appreciate you taking your time out of your busy schedule, despite whatever you've had going on today, despite the day that you've had. Someone is still choosing to spend some time with us, and so we appreciate that. And we are looking for God to continue to bless each and every one of you for seeking his word, because we know his word is so important. We gain life through his word. We gain wisdom through his word. We gain salvation through the word of God. And so we certainly honor him and magnify him and appreciate him for his word that he has blessed us with. So, you know, as I looked over my life, and I try to do that pretty often, because certainly things cause us to, we're very emotional creatures. This is our nature, to our moods. You know, sometimes people say certain people are bipolar. They have mood swings. The truth is, we all have some type of mood swing. Some things that happen to us in life, they cause us to be joyous, to be happy, to be delighted. There are things that happen in life that frustrate us. They cause us to be anxious. They cause us to be sad. They cause us to be angry. There's a lot of emotions that we feel in life, and so we have to keep those things in check. We have to continue to stay in tune with God, react and respond the way that God would want us to respond. He does want us to respond to the situations that we find ourselves in. And so You know, having conversations recently, you know, it brought the question to my mind, and it's a song. And the song says, what more can he do? What more can he do? You know, of course, circumstances and situations, trials and tribulations, they cause us to, like I said, we feel down sometimes. We feel hurt sometimes. But you know, when I really, despite how I'm feeling, when I really begin to look back over my life and look at all of the things that God has did just for me, just for me. And there's so much more I can look at that he's did even for others. You know, the question comes to my mind, what more can he do? What more can he really do? And now I know you say, well, God can do so much more. Of course he can. But the reason I'm asking this question is because he's already did so much. He's did so much. And at this point, we ought to appreciate what he's already did. He ought not have to do more things for us to appreciate him. You know, the truth is God ought not have to do even more for us to believe in him. He's already did enough. He's did enough. But sometimes we just don't recognize all that God has did. So we want to look at some things tonight that God has did for you and for me. Because he's did so much. You know, my mind went to sometimes you have women in this world, they will love a man and treat this man so well. You know, women will cook for the man, clean for the man, wash his clothes. You know, they're taking care of the children. Women doing so much to show this man how much she appreciates him, how much she loves him. And you know, it's so sad that you will have men who don't show that same appreciation. They go out and they cheat. They go out and they lie and they steal and they do all of these things. And the question is, what more could she be doing? And you know, there are women who will go and they'll try to increase the amount of things they're doing for this man. And it's still not enough. See, what more could she do? That's what I'm asking tonight from God's point of view. See, God, he's did more for any of us than any woman has did for any man, than any man has did for any woman, than any mother has did for any child, than any father for any child, any husband for any wife. He's did so much more. Any preacher for his congregation, any pastor, let me say, any pastor for his congregation. See, God has done so much more than any boss for his employees. Sometimes people get so excited because the job is going to offer them some type of bonus, some type of vacation package, some type of thing to just show their appreciation, a Christmas bonus. But God has given us so much more. What more can he do? Trust me, he can do more. But the reason this question is really being asked is because at what point, what does he have to do for us to trust him, for us to believe in him, for us to truly appreciate him? What more does he have to do? What more? So that's what I want you to think about tonight. Because no matter how I find myself in whatever condition, you know, there's a reason the scripture told us, if you would just keep your mind stayed on him, not your troubles. See, we're having troubles left and right. You don't have to look hard to find troubles in your life. But if we could just keep our eyes fixated on him, focused on him, concerned with his word and his righteousness. He promised to keep us in perfect peace. He promised, you know, it's so much easier. The more I look at God, it's so much easier to be at peace. It's so much easier to have that peace that the Bible said the world doesn't understand. People won't understand how, with all of the turmoil, with all of the trials in your life, how could you still be content? How could you still be at this place of, you're just, of course you're bothered. I don't even want to use, sometimes people use the term unbothered. I don't even want to say you're not bothered at all, but you're not to the point where you're ready to quit. You're not to the point where you're ready to give up on God. You're trusting in him more than ever. See, he'll put you in this place if we would just focus on what he's already did. See, we don't really, you know, I thank God that he's continuing to show us more and more of what he has already did. I know we want more from God. Look, I want more from God. I'm believing in God for more. I know he's going to do certain things. He's promised us some things in this life. We know about the promises of heaven and how we won't have pain and how we won't have tears and there'll be no more death and all of these things, the street paved with gold, all of these things he's promised us. We know that's in the works. But even if he doesn't do anything else, can we really be thankful for what he's already did? It's hard to feel that way when we're looking at our lives and we really don't realize what he's already did. There was a group of people that Jesus told. He fed these people with a miracle. He fed them, performed a miracle. We've heard the story, the fish and the loaves. And he said, you guys missed. You didn't even realize what happened. See, God is doing things for us left and right. And we don't even realize what's going on. What more can he do? What more can he do? He's doing things you don't even notice. You know, I oftentimes hear people pray it. I've heard Melvin say it. I've even said it myself. We talk about seen and unseen danger. See, what more can he do? He's protecting us even at night. Look, I know people have stolen from us. But look, these people will steal the clothes off your back if they could. They will steal every dime from your bank account. If you still have some money left, look, we ought to be thanking God. They will take whatever they can and don't have any remorse, any regret. What more can he do? He's protecting us already. We're constantly traveling up and down the highways, and God is watching out for us. Sure, we've had some accidents here and there, but I guarantee you, we have not been in every accident that we should have been in. See, what more can he do? He's already kept us from death. There has been times in our lives where we look at it and say, look, I should have died. I should have perished that day. I had this sickness. I was in this near accident. I had this person wanted to kill me. All types of situations. What more can he do to show us that he loves us? What more can he do to show us we can trust him? See, he's shown us something, but sometimes we still don't feel we can trust him. So I'm asking the question, what more? Look, what more does he have to do? What more does God have to do to get our attention? There are people. Now, I hope and pray it's not you. But if it is you, you have an opportunity. But God, he has been giving us signs. He's been giving us things to happen in our lives to wake us up, to gain our attention, to show us This thing is serious. Time is winding up. Your soul is at stake. He's trying to get our attention. What more does he have to do? Does he have to put someone in a coma? Does he have to cause someone to be paralyzed? Does he have to cause someone to die and bring them back to life? See, these things, unfortunately, some of these same things happen. These very things happen to us. And somebody still doesn't wake up. Somebody still doesn't begin to take God serious. What more does he have to do? Maybe I should have titled it that, Mel. What more does he have to do to gain someone's trust? You know, sometimes you try to do what you can to show people, especially me as a preacher. I try to do things to show people, you can trust me. I'm not after what you have. I'm not concerned about your finances as far as me receiving of them. I don't want your money. And that still isn't enough. You know, I tell people my phone is always open. You can call me. You can text me. Sometimes I might be busy. It might take me a while to respond sometimes. I might even miss your phone call. But I'm trying to make myself available to help you. And someone still isn't going to trust me. Someone still going to say, oh, no, that's a crook. No, we're not believing in that Bible stuff. See, what more can we do to prove this? To prove God, look, he's real. See, what more can we do? He told us to love our enemies. And we are laying our lives down for people every day. And somebody still isn't going to believe it. So, look, what more can God do? He's not limited now. He can do so much more. But what is he going to have to do for us to trust him, for us to have faith in him, to believe in him for all things? Man, we better get into some scriptures here tonight. We better get into some. 2 Peter chapter 1. I think that's where we're at. 2 Peter chapter 1. What verse were we at? 3?
3.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let's see what that says.
According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue.
Read that first part again for us.
According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and and godliness.
According as his divine power hath given us all things. What more can he do? He's given us all things. You say, well, I don't have all things. There's so many things that I'm lacking. He has given us access to all things according to his will. See, what more can he do? He's putting us in a position. I was just talking about this recently. He said he's going to make us the head and not the tail. We've been the tail our whole lives. We've been oppressed. I'm not talking about black people. I'm talking about us as people in general. Someone has oppressed us. Someone has neglected us. Someone has talked about us. Someone has looked down upon us. We have struggled. We have scratched and clawed to get wherever we are. But he said, look, according to his divine power. Look, he's giving us all things as it pertain unto life and godliness. See, you can live. You can live in God. I know many times we're faced with thoughts of death. We're faced with all of the evil reports and negative thoughts. We're faced with this. But in him we live. We breathe, we have our, we can move. We have our being in him. He's given us all things. You have access to it. You know, any rich person, any famous celebrity, famous actor, famous musician, whoever it is, any millionaire, any billionaire, their children, they've got all things because of what their parent has. All they've got to do is go and ask. All they've got to do is be in good standing with their parent, and they can go and ask, and that parent's going to make it happen for them. You see young children, these parents, these parents are buying children Rolls Royces, BMWs, Lamborghini. I mean, children can't even drive. And the parents have it stored up for this child so that when they become of age, now this child can reap the benefit. We don't realize this in God. He already has things planned for us, stored for us. I'm not telling you it's going to be a Lamborghini now. I'm not telling you that. But I'm telling you he has things in store for us. We can't see it yet. We haven't made it to that spiritual maturity yet, that age yet, where he's giving it to us. But he has things in store. He's given us all things. He's just waiting on us to trust him enough, to believe him enough, to have enough faith in him. What more can he do? He's given us all things. Read for us, Melvin.
Again, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue.
Mm-hmm.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
He has brought us. Some of us, we might not have come out yet, but he has brought us out of darkness into this marvelous light. He's changed our lives. He's given us a new outlook on life. Whereas some of us, we've struggled with depression. Every now and then, someone might even be bothered by a few things. Some of us, we've struggled with suicidal thoughts. We've struggled with a lot of things, a lot of lust, unrighteous lust. But God has blessed us to overcome these things. See, what more can he do? He saved us. You know, there are people that are still struggling with some of the same things that God has blessed you to overcome. Some of those same things people are still struggling with to this day. And they're telling themselves and telling other people, I have to be this way. They're telling themselves. God has blessed some of us to come off of cigarettes. He's blessed some of us to leave homosexuality, to leave adultery, fornication, all of these things. And someone's telling themselves, look, I have to be this way. There's no way. This is all I know. Some of us, we've left the hood life, the ghetto life, the thug life, the life of crime and sin. God has blessed us. Some of us, God is working on right now. He's able. See, what more can he do? Because he's already doing everything. He's doing it all for us. We've seen God work miracles in our lives. God has performed so many marvelous, incredible works for you. I can assure you there are some testimonies that you have that you gave years ago. You haven't given those testimonies in a while. There are some things we've even forgotten about. Some situations God brought us through, we forgot about them. And every now and then, God puts those things on your mind for you to remember. And you say, oh man, wow. If you could just think about what you thought while you were going through those situations, if you could just put your mind back, I'm not telling you to revisit it and live it all over again, but I'm just telling you to really appreciate God for how he brought you out of that stuff. And what your mind was thinking, like, I know because I've been there. My mind was thinking, it's over for me. I'm through. There's nothing left for me to live for. And somehow God has brought me out of that. Look, what more can he do for me? What more can he do? He shifted my mind. What more can he do? You know, I want to go back. And I know we won't read all of this. Before we do that, let's actually read down. Let's read verse 5.
And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge.
Add to your faith virtue. You know, my mind thinks about Jesus when the woman with the issue of blood, I believe she had it for what, 13 years or so? She touched the hem of his garment when he was in a crowd of people. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, he perceived virtue, went out of his body. He perceived power. He perceived the strength, went out of his body. He said, add to your faith virtue. See, we need some power. You know, we believe in God to a degree, but we need to be building our faith so that we have some power to believe him for more. That's why I wanted to discuss this tonight. What more can he do? He's did enough for us to believe in him, to have enough power to believe that it doesn't matter what the obstacles look like. It doesn't matter what they look. It's easier said than done now. This sounds good when we're in a Bible study. This sounds so good when we're in the church and the preacher's preaching this and everybody's shouting. It sounds good then. But he said, add this to your faith. Add virtue, add the power of God to it, and add to that. Look, we need knowledge. We need to know what God is doing. So I want to talk to you about some knowledge tonight. Some of the things that God has did. See, from the very beginning, all the way back in the book of Genesis. Now, we won't go there. At least I don't anticipate it right now. But from the very beginning, God went to work for you. We want people to do things for us. And you know, that's all God does is things for us. He began to create the heaven. The Bible says he created the heaven. He created the earth. He created the fowls of the air. The Bible mentions how he created great whales. Look, he had the whales already in mind because he knew Jonah was going to need one. See, he's working on things for us. God doesn't need a whale. What is he going to do? What does God need with a whale? See, he created all of these animals. For us, he created the cattle. The Bible says he created the creeping thing. Somebody said he could have left that one out. He created the creeping thing. It creeps you out too. He created the snakes. He created the spiders. He created the insects, the bugs, all of the things that creep us out. But he created that for you. You just didn't want it, but he created it for you. And you know what? Man loves those things so much. We take these animals, we take these insects, we take all of these creatures, these beasts of the field, and we put them in the zoo. God's not the one going to the zoo to look at how beautiful those animals are. Look, he created these animals for you. He created them, and they all look different. We say, oh, this one kind of looks like that other one, but they all have some different features. Look at what, look at how much detail. Look at how in-depth. Oh, the depths of God, the knowledge of God. Look at all he's doing for you. You know, we get tired of seeing the same old animal. Suppose if God created every animal to look exactly the same. Suppose he created every human to look exactly the same. Every man looked like every other man. Every woman looked like every other woman. It would be a terrible world. It would be a terrible place. Even if you felt you were the best looking person on the earth, it would be a terrible place. Look at all that God did for us. What more can he do? What more? So he gave us the animals. And we know the scripture talks about how God, he created man out of the dust of the ground in his image. He created the man. The Bible tells us that man is the glory of God. And you know what? Because he began to look at man, and he said, it's not good for the man to be alone. See, he's doing stuff for us all the time. Do we realize this? Do we realize it? So for the man, he created a woman. See, men ought to think about this. The next time the man goes to raise his voice at his wife, I hope he's not raising his hand, but the next time these men are raising their hands, we ought to think about God gave the woman to the man. He did that for you. What more can he do? And then after that, the Bible says, the glory of the man. Look, the glory of God is the man. The glory of man is the woman. And he gave the woman something. The Bible said her glory is her hair, long hair. Look at what he's did. Look, women love hair. We're not going to get into that tonight, but women love to get their hair did. God gave this to the woman for a reason. You got men, they're trying to do the same thing. Women go and get her hair done, man go and get his hair done too. That's not the order that God set. They're both in there getting they're getting a perm together. We better move on, man. God has did so much for us. He gave us the world. He gave us the sun. He gave us the moon. He gave us the cloud. Look at all that God did. He gave us air to breathe. You know, God intentionally put us on this earth. This wasn't by a mistake. If he had put us on one of those other planets that man is trying to go live on, we wouldn't be able to survive. God knows what he's doing. What more can he do? He has this thing figured out. So he's given us all of these things. And all he asked of man, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But man still was disobedient. We know the story, Adam and Eve ate of the tree. But even then, God was still gracious. Even though he put them out of the garden, look, he made them clothing. They made clothing of leaves, something that wouldn't work. So God made them clothing, gave them wool. Look at how he's so giving. What more can he do? Somebody said, I didn't want wool. That's not my clothes. I didn't want this. I wanted leather. I wanted this. I wanted that. What more can he do? Everything he does, we're not satisfied. And you know, from the beginning, God already knew he'd have to come into the world himself. See, God is a spirit. We won't get into the Godhead tonight, but God is a spirit. He's a spirit. And he realized because man contaminated the earth with sin through the devil, sin entered into the world. He knew he had to come in and die. See, what more can he do for a man to lay down his life for his friend? What more can he do? He came into the world himself. Look, I know I don't really want to get into the Godhead tonight, but we've got this thing twisted up. We're thinking God has a little baby boy named Jesus. No, it was God himself. He's a spirit. He put himself in a body and named that body Jesus. Jesus was God Almighty. He came into this world himself to die for us. What more can he do? He came here to be killed by his own people. He knew no sin. The Bible said there was no guile found in his mouth. He had never lied. He never stole. He never did any wrong to anyone. And he still allowed us, contaminated humans, sinful humans, to put him to death. Now, he laid his life down, but he allowed us to drive nails through his hands, through his feet, to put a crown of thorns on his head, to whip him, to beat him, to spit on him. You know, Mel, let's go and look at that. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, let's go and look at that. Isaiah 53. See, what more can he do? If you really begin to look at all that God has did already, what more can he do? Isaiah 53, let's pick up verse 3.
He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief.
Look at this man. He's rejected. You don't enjoy people rejecting you. The reason we try to wear clothing, I know I did it all throughout high school. We try to wear the clothing that's socially accepted. We try to wear the shoes that's accepted. We try to talk like people because we don't want to be rejected. But Jesus didn't come into the world trying to please people. He came in the world trying to please God. And so man rejected him. He came, the Bible said he came to his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. Read for us, Mel.
And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not.
We hid from him. We ran. We know many of us still are doing this today. We know the call that God has over our lives. We know he's calling us into a life of righteousness, a life of salvation. And we're running from it every day. We're saying, oh, I'm going to get right later on. I'm just not ready right now. We're hiding from him. We hid our faces. That's what he's saying. Read for us, Mel.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
Mm-hmm.
But he was wounded for our transgressions.
He was wounded for our transgressions. Not for his own wrongs, because he had none. He was wounded for ours. You know, none of us like to be punished for something we didn't do. I know I don't. None of us want to be blamed for something we had nothing to do with. If the police officer came to my door tonight and they say, yeah, we heard you were over here, you did this, I say, that wasn't me. You got the wrong one. I don't want to be blamed for someone else. There's no way I could be in a gang, Melvin. There's no way. I couldn't be in a gang. Don't even look my way, because if you think I'm willing to go to jail for you, I'm not fit. I'm like, you can say, oh, he's a snitch. He's that. He's this. You can call me whatever you like, but I won't be in jail for you. But Jesus, he came here. Look, he went to jail for us. Now, he wasn't in a gang now. He wasn't in a gang now. But he went to prison on our behalf. He went to the cross for us. I couldn't have did this. There's no way I could have did this. Now, you might say you could have did it. Yeah, I'll let you believe that. But I know there's no way I could have did this. He looked, you know what? The Bible even tells us, for those that'll say they could have did it, it tells us they looked, they searched heaven, they searched the earth, they searched below the earth, they searched everywhere, and they couldn't find anyone until God himself, he said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will, O God. God had to come himself in the man Christ Jesus. Because nobody else could get the job done. There's many times where I'll ask someone to do something. And I realize they just can't get the job done. They're not going to do this the way I want it to be done. And so I realize, look, sometimes, a lot of times, you just got to do it yourself. That's, God was at that place. What he was asking for, man just couldn't do it. So he said, I'm going. He stepped off the throne, came down here into the earth, walked the street for 33 years as a man. We're talking about God himself. We're talking about the same one where when they came to take him, they asked if he was the Christ. He said, I am he. And the moment he said that, look, he knocked them on their backs. We're talking about God Almighty here. He did things to show us he was God. We're talking about the one who walked on the water and then allowed Peter to walk on water toward him. We're talking about God Almighty. What more can he do? He was not too high and mighty to come down here to save us. What more can he do? What more? Let's keep reading here, Melvin. He was wounded. You know, before you even read the next part, you know, in the book of Zechariah, they asked him a question. They said, what are those wounds in your hand? How did they get there? He said, I was wounded. My God, I was wounded in the house of my friends. Look at how we've treated the Lord our God. What more can he do? You know, it breaks your heart. It truly breaks your heart when your so-called friends, when your so-called family members, when the people who say they love you, when they stab you in the back. That breaks your heart the most. You expect your enemy, you expect a stranger to mistreat you. You expect these things. But when it comes to your friends and family members, those that are close to you, those that see you every day, look, that hurts you the most. That breaks our heart the most. And so they asked Zechariah, this was talking about Jesus. They asked the question, how did you get those wounds, those piercings in your hand, those nail prints? What happened to you? He said, I was among my friends. The people who are supposed to care about me, I was with them. What more can he do? He knew he was coming for this reason, and yet the man still came. What more can he do? What more can he do? I'm not sure. If we don't believe him after hearing all these things, after seeing all he's did, what more can he do? You know, the Bible tells us it's not his will that a single one of us should perish. But somebody's still dying, going to hell. What more can he do? What more could he have done? He's did everything. God has tried everything to wake us up. He's doing everything possible to build up some confidence in his saints. He told us in one place, Jesus, he said, when the Son of Man returns, is he going to find anybody with confidence in him? Anybody that has faith in God? Is he going to find that? There's a reason Paul told us, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. He had to tell us because someone is throwing away their faith. Someone is losing hope. Someone is doubting God and not believing. He can do what he promised he can do. What more can he do then? After he's shown you all of this, what more? I'm really wondering, God, what more can you do? It's not that he's limited. It's not that there's a shortage of power. His hand is too short. His arm isn't strong enough. It's not that at all. It's that he's already given us all things. He's doing everything possible. He's working 24/7 for us. He sent Jesus here. And he was wounded. Read for us, Melvin.
Again, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed.
All that he did for us. All that he did, even after they killed him, he sent back the Holy Ghost. What more can he do? What more? If it wasn't enough that this man came here and lived for 33 years, you know, we want to live longer than that. We want to live longer than 33 years. But he came here and his life was shortened so that ours could be lengthened. What more could the man do? What more? And then after that, he gave us the Holy Ghost. You know, before we get out of here, my time is about up, Melvin, but I really want to go. I probably want to get two more scriptures. Hebrews, you know what? Yeah, let's pick up Hebrews 1 and 5. Hebrews 1 and 5.
For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee?
Look at the position that we have in God. He said, unto which one of the angels did he say at any point? The writer here, whom we believe to be Paul, he said, go back and find me one place where God said to an angel, look, you're my son, you're my daughter. Go back and find one, because you won't be able to do it. But you know what? God has bestowed that title upon us. When we live according to his plan, he's calling us his sons and daughters. To those who received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. What more can he do? You know, there are people who have their children who have parents. Now, they might be of age, might be teenagers, might be even older, might be adults, but their parents, because of certain things that that child or that, you know, they might be an adult, but their child, they did that displeased them. We have what we call disowning. So they say, oh, my parents don't own me. They don't claim me. You know what? Even when someone's parents might not claim them, that might be bad. But you know what's even worse is when God doesn't claim you. And so look at the honor that God is bestowing on us to call us his sons and daughters. He said, look, he hadn't did this for any angels. We look up to the angels. We're praying and saying, look, I want my guardian angel. We're praying for these things. But even we have something the angels don't. And I just told you, I want to get one more scripture, Mev, and I just mentioned this. But he told us, excuse me, he gave us the Holy Ghost. Run over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. because I like to show you these scriptures. Now, we went through a lot. We went through a lot tonight. And really, we have not went through as much as I would have liked to, but God knows what he's doing. Go back. Listen to these things. Go back and observe your life. Ask God to show you things he's doing in your life. So often we're looking at somebody else's life. And because they got a new car, we think we ought to get a new car. And we measure ourselves because, well, so-and-so got it. I've been in the church longer than them. See, we're measuring ourselves up by the wrong criteria. Just continue holding on to God. Realize what he's doing in your life. I can guarantee you have something going for you that somebody else wishes they had. I can guarantee it. Somebody wishes. Many of you listening to this tonight, and I hope and pray all of us, but we know there are homeless people in this world. Somebody wishes they had a place to stay. And we have it every day, and we're complaining because it's not exactly the way we want it, because the lighting isn't quite the way we want it. I don't like the color on the wall. It's something we don't like. What more can he do for us? Let's finish this up, Melvin. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12.
Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into.
Isn't that something? See, I mentioned to you that God didn't even call the angels his sons and daughters. And now we have been sent down the Holy Ghost from heaven with evidence of speaking in tongues, and somebody calls it crazy, but you know the truth is, he said, even the angels, they're wondering about this. They're looking into this. They're trying to figure out what's up with this Holy Ghost thing. God hadn't even given that power to us. That's what the angels are thinking. Look at what he's did for you. This is something that money can't buy. Doesn't matter how much money a person has, they can't buy the Holy Ghost. What more can he do? What more? And to cap it all up, to round it all up, he promised for those who are willing to be obedient to his will, wherever he is, he's going to take us there. We're going to forever be with the Lord. What more can he do? What more? I don't know what else we could ask. The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all we can ask or think. God is going to do some things for us that blows our mind. He's already did some things. They've blown our mind, and then we got used to those things. And then we got complacent. That's not really the word I'm looking for, but we've gotten just so used to those things that now those things are not enough anymore. And so God has to blow our minds again. But he's able to do this. What more can he do? What more? So when I look at this thing, I'm thankful to God that he's did so very much, and he's not done yet. May God bless you guys. May we continue to grow in him and realize, look, he's did everything for us. And now the scripture tells us, what shall I render unto the Lord? May God bless you guys. At this time, back into the hands of Melvin.
Thank you, Minister Tony. We have a few more comments. Sister Rosie says, praise the Lord. Kim says, greetings in the name of Jesus. David says, praise the Lord, everyone. So praise the Lord to you guys. Thank you for the comment, and thank you for tuning in. Susie says, God helped me with an illness so I could get out of the homeless shelter to a much better place. Praise him. So amen. Praise God for that. I'm glad that he did that for you. I'm definitely grateful for that. So thank the Lord for that. Let's see. David says, "The Lord Jesus doesn't owe me anything, but it's me that owes him my everything." Casey says, "His uniqueness is everything." We have Sister Vanilla Lowe, "God has already done enough." And that is definitely true. Mike says, "Thank you both for breaking down the scriptures so all of us can understand his word. We are blessed to have you in our lives." And we are blessed for people like you. Like Tony mentioned at the beginning of the live stream, anybody could be doing anything else. People have busy schedules, and I know firsthand about busy schedules. And we are exceedingly grateful for people to even spend 1 hour with us. I'm reminded of one place in the Bible where Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said, "You couldn't stand here and do this for 1 hour. You couldn't keep watch for 1 hour. You couldn't pray for 1 hour." I'm forgetting exactly what he said. So we appreciate it. And God sees your efforts too. He says he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So God sees your efforts, and we appreciate all of the comments, all of the shares, and even for just listening, because a lot of people won't even do that. A lot of people will say, "Oh, we're money hungry demons," as somebody commented a while ago. But we appreciate to everyone that listens, everyone that sticks around and actually tries to hear what thus says the Lord. Going back from to the topic of the message, Tony, you mentioned emotions. And I've said so many times on the live stream before, we can get in so much trouble because of our human emotions. You know, we could be praying for something, and just because we want something so bad, we'll take any little thing and say, "Okay, this is God confirming what I've been praying for." And I've said this before. I used to be a music producer for the wrong genre, that is. I would pray, you know, back before I actually tried to start living right. I would pray and I would think, "Yep, this is exactly what God wants me to do. I'm good at it." And even though I'm doing these things for, I'm editing, I'm recording, I'm mixing it, for people to portray a message that goes completely against God, you know, I had the mindset of, "Well, it's not me. I'm not saying it. I'm just putting it together. I'm promoting it so other people can hear it. I'm not saying it." But I was reminded of a place in the scripture that says, "Don't be a partaker of another man's sins." I'm not the one that's saying it, but I'm helping spread this message. You know, I can't be saying I'm a follower of Christ, but be a supporter of this message or whatever the people were rapping or singing about. So I had to let it go. And that was really tough for me to do, let go of doing music, as even listening to this music. I know Tony can attest to it. It took me a while. The songs were sitting on my phone for a few months. I didn't listen to them, but I'm like, "Man, I really don't want to delete these things. I don't want to delete the secular music." But he brought me out of that. Like I said, it took me 3 times to start listening to gospel. 3 times. But on the third time, I listened to it and I stuck with it. And still to this day, that's all I listen to. So I'm grateful for that. I'm exceeding grateful. Those are all of our comments. So thank you to the ones that have left a comment. And as my weekly reminder to you guys, we do have Zoom Bible studies every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We would love to see you guys there. And as I always like to say, rejoice in the Lord always, because today's tribulations are tomorrow's testimonies. Count it all joy, count it all joy, and count it all joy again. There's reason to be joyful in the midst of every single storm. If the Lord blesses and says the same, we'll see you guys next Thursday evening with another topic coming straight from the Word of God. Until then, you guys have a happy, safe, and blessed weekend. And thank you once again for tuning in. Thank you for listening to our weekly Bible study podcast. We hope you enjoyed this evening's message. My name is Melvin Corners, here along with Minister Tony Banks. You can catch these Bible studies live on Facebook every Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time at facebook.com/JMSBible. We have Zoom Bible studies every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Also, check out our website at jmsbible.com. There, you can listen to all of our in-person, Zoom, and live stream messages along with every scripture we've ever covered. Lastly, we have been getting a lot of questions about how people can donate. We have finally opened up a Cash App if you find it in your heart to leave a donation, because running these Bible studies takes money, which Tony and I have been paying since we first started. That name is $JoyStorm12. We appreciate each and every single donation, no matter how small. And remember to rejoice in the Lord always.